Hey guys, real quick, the point of this podcast is to hear stories about people navigating within the Bitcoin industry. So if you're looking to work in Bitcoin, or if you're a Bitcoin company looking to hire at the moment, we are the leading recruiting firm focused on the Bitcoin industry. Head over to our website and learn more at www.bitcointalent.co. My guest today is Sam Waters, who is a research analyst at River. His mission is to make Bitcoin more accessible to people throughout the world by making high-quality educational Bitcoin content. So if you're someone that's passionate about Bitcoin and education, even educating others about Bitcoin, then this podcast is for you, as Sam gives some really great actionable advice on how you can work on Bitcoin education yourself and eventually land a job in the Bitcoin industry doing that. So let's get the podcast started. Hello and welcome to the Bitcoin Talent Co. podcast. I'm your host, Eric Podwatchke, and today I'm joined by my friend, Sam Waters, who is a research analyst at River. Sam, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for inviting me, Eric.
Yeah, definitely. So let's dive into it. I'm curious, before this whole Bitcoin thing kind of took over your life, what were you doing professionally? And, you know, where'd you go to school? What'd you study? What was your pre-Bitcoin life like?
Oh man, it's been a while. I've been in the space for quite a long time. So I actually discovered Bitcoin before I had my first job, essentially, while I was still studying. So that's been roughly 10 years ago. So I've been in the space for a while, and yeah, I was studying nothing specifically related to Bitcoin, and actually found Bitcoin through a hobby. So I mean, I did a lot of stuff before I worked full-time in Bitcoin. That is definitely the case.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious though. Yeah, what did you do?
So before I worked on Bitcoin, I started my career in management consulting, not as the actual person giving the advice to management teams, but rather supporting the people doing that and through research in all kinds of industries. So like in finance, in healthcare, in you name it, like any kind of industry, we would look into how is this industry transforming through the introduction of technology, through digital transformation, essentially. And I helped write a book about that in 2014, which we sold in like a whole bunch of countries, and in general did really well to allow us to get in contact with all kinds of companies and give them advice on how to essentially reposition themselves with new startups coming into their industry, with new challengers coming in. And my role there was just doing research, supporting those consultants, figuring out like what is actually happening in the industry, what is sort of nonsense, and what is actually impactful or important to be looking at. So that's kind of how I started out. And then I got more and more into education afterwards, as I felt like management consulting is there's a lot of fluff in there, obviously. And we always try to differentiate ourselves from the big four, like the big four consulting firms like Deloitte, et cetera, that tend to do massive, really expensive projects. We would do much lower budget, much more tangible projects. But I still felt, despite that, that I could really directly help people much more through education than just by giving advice and then ultimately seeing them struggle to do stuff with that because they have their own challenges, or they're in the position that they're in for a reason in many cases as well. Right. So been super focused on education since.
Gotcha. And before we get to the education stuff, did you have some sort of degree in business management, something like that?
Not specifically. I didn't go to university necessarily as people would perceive it in the US. Here it's like university college, which is where you have the non-academic kind of studies. And the one I did was called cross-media management. It was pretty new because social media started to emerge and people were figuring out like how could you manage a brand online? How could you manage an online community? And it was kind of a blend of those types of activities and skills. But it was the first year they were doing it. So they were also still trying to figure out like, how do we make this thing work and where do we go with it? And really like it had not much to do with what I'm doing today, but still just completed the studies for the sake of it. But then did an internship during those studies to then end up at the management consulting company that I started out at.
So right. Gotcha.
That's kind of the link there.
The reason I like to ask that question, because I like to see if what people learned in their early life, whether it be a university or like a university college, like you have over there in Europe, how those skills you learned apply, or knowledge apply to the Bitcoin industry. But before we get there, though, I'm also curious, how'd you go down the education path? What led you there, and what exactly were you educating people about?
Educating people about Bitcoin primarily, and the reason I started doing that was because I initially struggled a lot myself to understand it.
Gotcha.
Back when I got into it, there was very little non-technical information, and I was just trying to figure out, like, it sounds too good to be true, so what is the catch? And it took me months to really get a proper understanding of Bitcoin because I don't, as mentioned, I don't have a technical background. I didn't study any kind of engineering. I don't have an academic background either, and a lot of the information that was out there back then was extremely technical. So it took me a while to understand that, and I felt like, this technology is phenomenal, but if it's going to take everyone this long to understand it, then it's never going to take off, is what I figured. So I think when Andreas Antonopoulos first started making a whole bunch of public videos around his presentations, I felt like, okay, he does an amazing job. I'll probably never be as good as him, but he's just one guy, and we need a lot more Andreases in the world to help people understand Bitcoin. So I just started doing presentations gradually, and I've probably done 100 plus over the past 7-ish years or so to all kinds of audiences, like management teams, boards of directors, public events, private events, just you name it, and in so many different industries. Just talking about Bitcoin and explaining it to them. Done a lot of writing as well. So yeah, just have a strong passion for education. It's seeing that spark in people's eyes when they finally start getting it, and then when they tell you afterwards, like, I've never had it explained to me in simple terms like this before. People always go way too complicated, and I sort of have a benefit there that I'm not a native English speaker, so I don't even know a lot of the complicated words, and as a result, I will always keep it simple. So that helps a bit.
So you said like 7 or so years ago, so what, you start professionally educating people on Bitcoin back in like 2016 or so?
Yeah, something like that. Like, I think 2015, I gave my first presentations, but they were pretty terrible, probably. So let's say professionally 2016 or so.
I've actually done a few in-person presentations myself over the last couple of years, and I recorded the early ones, and looking back to them, they're so bad. So
It's
I'm glad I'm like at
painful,
least
yeah.
progressing.
Yeah.
And I guess too, along the lines of that, how did you get into it initially? Like, did you just decide one day I'm gonna go give a presentation about Bitcoin and there you go? Or yeah, just curious.
No, I was already interested in it for a while, and I actually got a request from someone in my class, I think, who said, like, I have someone at this, I think it was a travel company, and they were interested in Bitcoin because they heard about it somewhere that it could be used for international payments, and they had some kind of innovation day and just needed speakers to speak there. And she asked me, like, would you be interested in that? So I just thought, why not? Let's go for it. The best way to learn about Bitcoin is teaching. And yeah,
You put
that's
your
kind
own
of how I got
presentation
started with it.
together.
Which looked pretty terrible. I still have it somewhere. But then very quickly afterwards, I learned also through the job that I had, like, we had to give a lot of presentations and prepare a lot of slide decks for clients. And you just very quickly learn and iterate and start improving and, like, getting rid of all the bullet points in your slides and visualizing things much better. And from there on out, I think I have thousands and thousands of slides and variants of loads of different things that I've presented in the past, just through iterating and getting better and better and figuring out, like, when I say this, people think of that thing next. And then when they will ask me the question, I click next slide and it's right there. And they're just mind blown because you've read their mind somehow. I've done a lot of that
There's a huge
just
timing
by
aspect to
sequencing.
it. And like you said too, like I hate when presenters have a ton of information on one slide. So you're not even like listening to the presenter, you're trying to read the information. So yeah, figuring that out along the way, like what's the best way to get this information across? That's a really good skill to have.
Yeah, and
So all right, so
that's like, it's a
before,
constant learning process.
yeah, oh totally, yeah, just like Bitcoin is. And before you started doing the education, how did Bitcoin make its way into your life? Like, what's your Bitcoin story?
I figured, like, I first discovered it through an online game that I played, which had its own kind of economy in there. And I was essentially a trader in there. I started playing it early, I think when I was 13 years old or so, with friends. Everyone my age would play it. It was called RuneScape. Some people
Yeah, I've heard of
within
that.
the industry today still know that name from somewhere. It was like the second biggest MMO game after World of Warcraft, I think, that more people know by name. But it was a game like that. I initially played it with friends. They eventually quit. And I kind of stuck around because I liked the trading in there. You could just buy and sell goods to other people and make a profit that way. And I discovered at a pretty early age that I was actually pretty good at that. I haven't been good at, in my opinion, at a lot of things in my life, but I was actually very good at trading. And it made me realize, like, okay, there's just like economics in general. Like, what is that? What are all the concepts behind many of these things? But then at some point, I realized, well, the money that you have in the game, it can be exchanged for real life money as well. There's people who don't want to spend hours and hours trying to gather resources to get some kind of difficult to get items in the game. They would rather just spend a bit of money because they have plenty of income and then buy the item directly from you or buy the gold to buy that. So I realized that and I was like, well, if I'm good at trading, I could actually make money on here. So that's what I started doing. And then at some point I realized, like, actually these people that are trading the gold, they are like the gold in the game, they are looking for payment methods and they started accepting Bitcoin all of a sudden. So I was like, Bitcoin was that? I've seen like PayPal and all of these other names I haven't heard in a
And
long
what
time,
year
like
is
many
this?
times over. What's the year I first saw that? I think like 2012, 2013 or so, where that started emerging,
It's probably Bitcoin's probably at like maybe $100 a coin or something like that at the time.
Yeah,
Maybe
it was
less.
pretty early on, and there was probably very little adoption yet at that point, but they just started accepting it because they're like, well, it's not too much trouble. And I guess the people who were those kind of brokers, they got into all kinds of virtual goods trading across many different games early on. For them, it's probably just a full-time job. But started seeing it then, and then in 2013 or so, a friend of mine was like, you gotta read up on this. There was an article about it. And then I read it and it immediately caught on with me. Like, I immediately understood the value proposition because in the game itself, you also had scarce digital goods. You had items that would never be released in the game again, and those were worth a lot of money. So fundamentally understood, if you can actually create a scarce digital good, that is going to be valuable in the long run. The trick, however, was like understanding how can you ensure that it's actually not going to be released more than the system is saying. So that took me quite a lot of time to understand and to really get a bit of a grasp on it. And you get pulled into, you know, there's lots of other projects that are claiming to be better, which I fortunately never wasted too much time on. Like in hindsight, I'm glad I didn't and just focused on Bitcoin because that was enough to even try to understand.
I
But
know.
yeah, there like a lot of these other projects emerged, and those were pretty distracting. And in general, a lot of people were trading as well. And given my background in trading, I figured maybe that's what I'm going to be doing. But I had this one moment, I'll never forget, where I was going, like climbing to a waterfall with my family, and I was in the back on my phone, like setting up a trade or something. And I was like, what the hell am I doing with my life? Like, I'm here, like in beautiful nature with my family. I could misstep and all of it is for nothing. Like, just stop. And then I just stopped and never looked back at it again, which I think is for the better. It's nicer to be able to have a social life, to sleep, to have fun in life and not be worried about the price as much. So.
I totally agree, right? Best, way better quality of life. So when you're learning about Bitcoin and maybe some other crypto assets, did you have like an aha moment? Is there a moment when you were like, okay, Bitcoin's different from the rest of these?
Well, back then, like when I got into it, most of the early resources were just about Bitcoin because there weren't as many other coins and projects yet. They started to emerge, obviously, but I'd say like the bulk of all the information was about Bitcoin. And then people started sort of creeping into those conversations with their other things.
You didn't really have a
So
choice.
for me, yeah, for me, like Bitcoin was obvious. And then I started like, okay, there is also Litecoin, but I realized like, okay, the block times are different. There's like a little more capacity, I believe. I don't even recall at this point. I haven't looked at that in a long time, but you essentially realize it does like the code base is 99% the same as Bitcoin's, or 99.9%, I don't know exactly. It does pretty much the same, but it's slightly faster. And I realized like, well, actually, this is not going to be fundamentally better or 10x better than Bitcoin by any means. So if Bitcoin is already the thing that's biggest, has the most development, has the smartest people working on it, like, why would I go to this other thing which is marginally different, like not even necessarily better? It just doesn't make sense. And a big moment there, like obviously when Ethereum emerged at some point, I looked at that too, and I just thought to myself, having looked at a lot of projects in the past for my work, like just unrelated to Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, I would always dive into like, why is this thing fundamentally interesting or different? What is it solving? Like, what is it actually doing better than what's out there? And I looked at Ethereum and just didn't see it. I just saw the pitch of this is the world computer and it could do anything out there. But it's like, okay, well, give me one amazing example of what it could do that we really need right now that is worth a substantial amount of money.
Right.
And I just didn't see it at the time. And like, as the years progressed, I kept, like, I always kept an open mind about it. Like, let's just look at what is being developed. Maybe we learn something from it. Maybe we, some of those things can be implemented if they're worthwhile. But it just never clicked for me where I was like, this makes complete sense to me the way it did for Bitcoin. So ultimately, that's why I always remained interested in Bitcoin, because I actually understood the need for it, like a need that you have yourself as well. You see why people need it and use it. So
what's crazy, it's been like a decade for you too, and you're still super into it. So there's the rabbit hole is just endless. There's always so much more to learn about it.
Oh, yeah.
Related topics.
Yeah.
My favorite part about it. Yeah, so I'm curious now. So you have Bitcoin in your life. You start working on education, teaching people about Bitcoin. How does River come into play then? What was your job search process like when you decided you wanted to work for a company in the Bitcoin space?
Well, I always wanted to go full time ever since I first started writing a bit about it. And in that book that I mentioned, the Digital Transformation book, there's a little chapter in there on Bitcoin as well. And I was really eager to do more with it and to see if there were maybe clients that were interested in learning what could be done with Bitcoin. But then the kind of blockchain wave started, and I figured, well, this is potentially an excellent Trojan horse because everyone wants presentations around the blockchain. And then the only workable blockchain that you can talk about that has any kind of meaningful data or volume is Bitcoin. And then you can say, what else are people trying to do with blockchains that there aren't really examples of? Well, it's this stuff, and these are the reasons why they probably don't work. So that's what I spent a bunch of years doing, but I always felt like there was something missing for me personally. I thought many times about like maybe I should write a book at some point, just explain it in simple terms, long before like lots of authors started writing books in Bitcoin. And I considered, should I have my own education platform online? Should I do YouTube full time? But for me, what's most important is like also having a team of people around you that are very driven and very capable of what they do. And that you kind of have the full package in a way, because if you're a full-time educator, one of the hardest things is the business model, because a lot of people that want to learn, they don't necessarily have or want to spend money on it. So as a result, what you see with a lot of content creators is that they have to work with sponsors.
Yep.
There's a lot of maintaining those relationships as well. You have to sell yourself and the product you're putting out there to those people too. And then you're only spending a smaller amount of your time working on education. And for me personally, I'm so passionate about education that I'm like, well, I don't want to spend a good bit of my time managing the education business. I just want to educate. I want to do the research. I want to create the content. And for me, like what was missing is really like, how can I work with a company where when people ask me like, oh, how could I get into Bitcoin or what are the next steps or all these things, that I don't have to just ship them off to some other company that I don't work at and maintain relationships with those. Like, what's really cool now about the content that I create is that I can just say, you know, if you're interested in getting into Bitcoin, like I work at a company that can help you do that. And I'm learning a lot from all of those people building the products and understanding market needs and whatnot. So it's very enriching to be part of a team that way. And how I first discovered River, I'd actually seen it in the past just in general. I always kept up to date with everything going on in Bitcoin, but I just quickly looked at it and thought, oh, you know, they're a broker, but they're based in the US and I can't use them. So not much I can do there. But then at some point, on a very late evening, I randomly checked Twitter and then I saw a tweet from the CEO, Alex Leishman, who was like, we're hiring a research analyst. And I was like, damn, that's sounds amazing. I would love to do that. They probably won't hire me given that I'm based out of Europe, but I thought, why not give it a shot? And then we had an interview. I got a challenge to do a writing challenge on a topic of my choosing or one of the lists that they presented. And I got to that and through that, and they were really excited about the output, got interviewed, and then like a couple more times then, and then I was set up. That was a pretty quick process, actually.
Nice. Did you apply directly through their website or did you just hit them up on Twitter? Okay, gotcha.
I DM'd Alex, which is what he said, like hit me up in DM, and then he just sent me
Gotcha.
the link and I applied there. Yeah.
And were you at the
So.
time networking with anyone else in the company to try to like increase your odds? Or did you just talk to Alex and apply?
Initially, I just talked to Alex. I did look into, this is always important to do, I think, is do a bit of homework on the company you're applying
Yeah,
to. Like, what
definitely.
roles are open? Who works there? Do you know anyone? So I did look into that, but I didn't actually know anyone. I'd been in Bitcoin for a long time, but if you're like, I wasn't as public facing beyond the public speaking, which was a lot of it was in Dutch in my own language. So I wasn't as international and connected. And as a result, I didn't really know anyone. But if you do, obviously you want to talk to them to even get an inside view of what is the company like and how do you like your job and all of those things.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Not even like trying to get your foot in the door with the company, like having them refer you. It's more or less trying to figure out this is a company you want to work with, and people you want to work with as well. So I always try to encourage people looking job seeking in the Bitcoin industry. You got to do your networking and see if that's something you actually a company you want to work with. I'm also curious about this writing challenge you did. Can you elaborate any more on that? Like, what exactly was the format of it? What's the topic you picked?
Topic I picked, I think, on why Bitcoin needs to use energy. That was the specific focus. There was a list of topics that Alex presented, and because Alex is both the CEO and the CTO, he's a very technical guy. He has a really deep understanding of Bitcoin's technology. So the list of topics that he provided were quite specific to like technological interests that people might have on somewhat niche things here and there. So I figured, well, actually, if I go through the blog, I feel like this is not addressed as much, and it's a question people ask a lot. So it was like a 1400 word post or so. So alongside doing that, the way I tried to differentiate myself was not just doing the article, but I also made a video. So through my past experience in that game that I mentioned, at some point I set up a trading website together with a friend of mine to teach other people how to trade in that game. And I would do the YouTube content, I would create all these slide decks and just explain to people in simple terms how to do that. So alongside the article, I also made a video version of it, which I just embedded in there because there's a lot of people, which is not acknowledged that much in Bitcoin, I think. There's a lot of people who like to learn visually, who don't want to sit through a 1 hour podcast, who don't want to read a 400 page book with barely any images or any explainers like that in there. A lot of people just want to see videos, visuals, like just show it to me. How does this abstract thing work? Rather than, keeping it so abstract. So that's what I did to try to differentiate myself. Show, like, I think that every article in an ideal world, there's a lot of production costs to that, obviously, but every article would ideally have a visual version too. And if you have that video, you can extract the audio and you have an audio version as well. So then people can learn about a topic in a way that resonates with them rather than being forced to go through the format that you have available to them. So that's how I differentiated myself, plus the work I'd done in the past in terms of writing about all kinds of technical topics and making those more accessible to people. That was my portfolio essentially of writing that I'd done, along with all the presenting that allowed me to stand out. Just a mix of different factors and not betting on having one good connection or having a great resume in terms of companies that you've worked at. So,
I like how you mentioned your portfolio of work as well. So anyone listening right now, if you're not working in Bitcoin but you want to, immediately what you can start doing is do exactly what Sam did here. Pick a topic you're interested in related to Bitcoin, write about it, create a video about it, make different formats, just put it out there in the public and you can start building up this portfolio. So when the time's right and you're applying to companies, you have something to show for yourself as well. I think that's
yeah,
huge.
absolutely. I recently hired someone to work with me on content on RiverLearn, the database that we have of like hundreds of articles that explain Bitcoin related topics in simple terms, because there's a lot of work to be done in improving that. And there were 300 people who applied for the job. And out of those 300, like I can't give you an exact percentage, but a very high number of people were like, I don't have any portfolio. I did ask the question, like, just put it in it, like, leave your portfolio here. I said, I don't have a portfolio, but I'm really passionate about this and really want to do it.
But it's like, show me, right? Not to, don't tell me, show me.
And it's like, I be man, I believe that you really want this job, but Like, I need to see that that you love this so much that you've already been doing it. That's just what I kept telling them over and over.
Right.
And that's, yeah, it's like proof of work, but not the mining version of it, but your own version of it. You have to do what you were saying earlier, like go try things out. And a lot of it will be crappy. You'll get bad feedback from people that really make you question yourself.
Yeah.
But you have to do it if you want to stand out from the big crowd, because there's millions of people who love Bitcoin who would love to work in Bitcoin full time. But you've gotta do something to make yourself stand out that is not just, I'm like super passionate about this. That's not enough, unfortunately, in many cases.
Yeah, and as you're trying to select people to interview for this position, what else stood out to you in applications besides just a portfolio? What else were you looking for?
So I have some fairly strong opinions about Bitcoin education in general. I think a lot of the education that is being done is, and like, I guess this applies in many industries and areas, but it's not as good as it could be. You hear this a lot from people where they're like, well, I'm trying to convince my friends and family of Bitcoin, but they're not interested, or they're not, like, they're just not jumping on it the way I am, and I don't understand. And there's so much of that where you feel like if people just understood how you could do it different, or how you could do it better, how you could have more empathy, and like even put yourself in their shoes and listen to yourself talk to them. Like, it's kind of crazy to me. So what stood out to me is, who is going to have the energy to and the patience to go through that learning process themselves? Because I felt like there are very few amazing Bitcoin educators in the world that are like absolutely outstanding and really kind of get, like, how do you craft a really good learning experience? And that's something that's not done as much. I think there's lots of people who will write articles, who will try to create the best learning experience about Bitcoin through like a one page or on a website with lots of links and all of the books that you should be reading and whatnot. There's a lot of that, but very few people who come at it from the angle of what is a good learning experience. How do you actually make people go through the topics that they find interesting? How do you give them not too much information, but just enough to keep them interested? How do you engage them through exercises, through videos and whatnot? And given that there's so few people who really get that, I felt like no matter who I'm going to end up hiring, I'm going to need to transfer that mindset to them and the understanding of how do we actually want to evolve, River Learn, in the future. So, given those things, what I mentioned earlier, like, I need someone who has the patience and the energy and the insight to be able to go through that. So that's what I was looking for beyond the portfolio, that would kind of show to me that they get that there is a little bit more to Bitcoin education than just write a very technical post that goes over people's heads to impress them, but actually confuse them, or try to come up with the best metaphor or the best like introduction paragraph to Bitcoin. Like, there's so much more to it than that, I think.
Yeah, that's a great insight there. And I'm curious, what have you found? What's the best experience to teach Bitcoin?
So the best experience depends on the person you're teaching, I think. And a lot of people tend to go with some kind of pitch, or they have a standard link or a standard book or whatever that they want to dump on this person. Because that's easier to just hand it off to some other format that's already been prepared. But for me, one of the most interesting things you can do is to just have a conversation with the person. Just understand, what do they already know about Bitcoin? If somehow they're asking about it, or it comes up in conversation, it's just figuring out what is their perspective on it. Because that gives you time to sort of assess your thoughts. What is the most interesting angle to address it from that might resonate with them? Because you can start talking to someone in the first world about how in developing countries, they could use this to like protect themselves against hyperinflation or for cross-border payments. But for those people, it's like, well, how is this relevant for me? Like, what am I going to do with it? Like, great for them, I'm happy for them, but it just doesn't engage them in the kind of way where you might say to them, well, like, you might not care that much about like your currency inflating, etc., but what about your kids? You want to save your wealth for your future generations, right? And when you address it from that angle, maybe it resonates with them much more. So it's just understanding, like, what are their concerns around money in general? How do they look at it? Do they feel confident in the system that's there? Are they struggling to figure out where to put their money? Are they struggling to just get by? So it's figuring out, like, what's going to resonate with them. That is the starting point. And a lot of people are so eager about Bitcoin that they immediately jump into their definition. It's hard money and you can't trust the state and the central banks are just printing infinite amounts of money and you're just like blowing past their heads. Like, what are you? Like, relax. Let's have a conversation. And that's what it comes down to, I think.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, most, if not all, Bitcoin companies are education companies at the same time. Do you have a piece of advice for Bitcoin companies creating educational content, like you said, that can kind of scale in a way? So they're not just more or less one-on-one conversations. Like, how can they set it up correctly to get the point across, have people learn, and eventually use their product or service?
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I spend a lot of time thinking about, like, speaking from the perspective of We Have River Learn.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people, when they search for Bitcoin related questions, they might find us for some topics in the top results in Google. Yeah. And that is nice
Google's
and handy,
the word
but when, yeah.
For Bitcoin when, related education.
Yeah.
I always the worst resources link there, so wouldn't recommend that. Go ahead.
Yeah. It depends so much on the topic, I guess. But when people get into your content, it's like, okay, what's the next step for them that is logical? And a struggle that I think a lot of companies have is they immediately want to sell at that point. Mm-hmm. And a lot of educational databases just very quickly become like, read this article. Okay, now sign up for our service or become our client. And that's a very tempting thing to do, but it's very difficult to convert people in that kind of way. It's a pretty hard sell going from, I just want to learn about how mining pools work, to buy a miner start, like, join our pool and do all of these things. So it's a bit about finding your kind of niche in a way, because everyone, especially the exchanges and brokerages, they try to cover everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like River Learn as well just has such a diverse amount of articles that it's a lot to maintain at the same time. That's really important to keep in mind too. So I think it's about finding a focus, and rather than trying to create a really big volume of content, it is much more about, can we make each and every single article really good? Really amazing, like, just awesome to recommend and make that the top resource. And there are no shortcuts on that, which requires a bit of patience from management of companies when they're, you know, they hire a content writer or something, or they work with an external party and they're just trying to focus on, can we get 5 articles out this quarter or something? They just look at volume, want to push it out quickly. But it's much more about, even if we just do one post, how do we make that the best post to go to learn about this specific topic? That is, I think, much more valuable than trying to cover lots of different topics and kind of like, it's almost like a having a dartboard and just going at it blindfolded and throwing stuff at it.
Right.
It's like, no, just make that one throw count.
Right.
If you can do that, you get good feedback from people, you figure out what resonates, you can build on that and just take it step by step.
Yeah. So you mentioned you're primarily working on building out River Learn. Tell me more about River as a company. Like, what products and services do you guys offer overall?
It's a US-based company, as I mentioned before, so we offer brokerage, and then a lot of people like to which is, like, for context that people don't know, it's like buying and selling a Bitcoin. We also have custody solutions, because some people, like, believe it or not everyone self-custodies or wants to self-custody. We do encourage it, and today we actually rolled out an auto withdrawal feature to allow people to automatically do that.
Yeah, I saw that. Nice.
Because a lot of people, what they do like to do is set up a dollar cost average, like a recurring order that just buys a bit of Bitcoin every day, month, or week, or whatever works for them.
Yep.
And then they can automatically withdraw that to self-custody. Now, we don't charge fees on those dollar cost averaging orders, which is a bit of an outlier in the industry, because that's actually the business model for a lot of companies. Mm. But for us, it's more like setting up a relation with the client. And if they're then interested in other kinds of products that we offer, such as the hosted mining service that we have, where we, like, they can buy a miner with us, we place it at a hosted facility at a fixed rate that's determined in the contract.
Yep.
And then they automatically get paid out through their app every day without having to make sure the miner is still running, without having to fix the fan because it broke, without having to worry about all of that stuff. So we offer products around that, and that is where the company then makes its money, rather than with a dollar cost averaging order where they charge fees on it.
Right. So, I imagine fees too. It's like, you're not really getting that much money from fees. So I think that business model you guys are deploying makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And you build trust with your customers.
Yeah. but then you need other products around it that allow you to do stuff. And it's a very product driven company, very technology driven company, because we also have things like an inheritance product that's part of the reason why people might use custody, because they're like, well, if anything were to happen to me, I want my my loved ones to be okay and to be able to get access to it and not have to figure out where to put these words and what kind of wallet and end up losing it all. And we've been very focused on the Lightning Network since early on, since like 20, I think in 2019 or so, we were one of the first exchanges to integrate with it. So people could already do deposits and withdrawals with the Lightning Network. Our wallet is also alongside a Bitcoin wallet, just a Lightning wallet. And we run some of the largest nodes on the Lightning Network. And I wrote a report about that. Like, what have we learned from that? Because we're starting to offer this as a service to other companies, where the biggest example being the Chivo wallet in El Salvador that is powered through our Lightning nodes to make sure that the payments always work, they're always reliable and on time. And we're offering that expertise to other companies where they can use our infrastructure to just get easy access to Lightning. And then, you know, if they like it, things are going well, they could always consider building their own infrastructure later on. But it's a really easy way to onboard where they don't need to dedicate a team of four engineers to it for a couple months to then also have that in-house expertise to constantly maintain that infrastructure before they even know if it's going to drive significant business.
Yeah,
So
I
that's
think for the adoption of Lightning overall, I think that's what's going to be needed is companies like River kind of taking over that node management. So other companies can build on top of Lightning, just plug and play. They don't need to manage their own node. So I'm glad you guys are tackling
exactly.
that issue right now. Also curious about the company overall. So you said it's US based, and you're working remote from the Netherlands, right?
Yeah, true.
What's that like working with other Bitcoiners, and especially in like a more remote setting too?
It's pretty awesome for me because I tend to be more productive in the mornings, and there's lots of like companies for people in general where your whole morning just gets jam-packed with meetings. And then you have to do your work in the afternoon, or you get disturbed there as well. So for me, I can just be productive during the day. At the end of my afternoon, I have a couple calls with relevant people around certain projects, and then I'm done with my day. So it's pretty nice. And I think in general, I only have like two calls or so a month in the evening, something like that, maybe three occasionally. So I like it doesn't bother me that I'm remote, and there's like a good number of people that are remote, or roughly 45 people. Most of them are US based, but in general, we're a very productive team. I think we've managed to sort of keep the head count down to not have to fire lots of people in a bear market. And in general, everyone's just very focused on how can I be productive and do a good job and get a lot of stuff done,
Yeah,
even
my
though
favorite part
people aren't
about
together in the
working.
same space.
Yeah, my favorite part about working in a Bitcoin company is like everyone's kind of on the same mission, and they're just heads down driven. So being around that type of energy, even like in a remote setting, I think it wears off on you in a good way and pushes you. So that's one of my favorite parts about working in Bitcoin. And you also mentioned headcount. So how many people currently work at River?
Yeah, roughly 45 or so.
Oh, it's a pretty big team.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, cool. So besides the company overall, what do you do day to day at River as an analyst?
So in the morning, I just have like a 5 minute brainstorm or so. I put the headlines in ChatGPT and then I
I
just chill for the rest of the day.
mean, the
That's what
reality is
people.
that could be your job in the future, so.
Yeah, it maybe indeed. Yeah, no, that's not it, unfortunately. So for me, when I'm working on research, which I'm doing at the moment, then it's very much focused during the day on getting like just, you know, researching, professional Googling, gathering data, creating graphs, writing, editing, reviewing the work from others as well. So it's a whole mix of different things. It's for me, it's never boring. It's every day is like an interesting new challenge. So there's a lot of that. Occasionally, I'll go on a podcast or write something for an external thing. I also definitely spend at least 5 minutes a day on finding interesting memes to share with the company or make my own, because that's like when we're talking about remote companies, like it's important to have some culture, I think. So
So
I
true.
tend to entertain people a bit
Right.
in our Slack.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun too.
So as you're doing your Googling, professional Googling, are there any specific websites or resources you use that have like really great Bitcoin information, or is it kind of just dispersed all over the internet?
It is very dispersed, yeah. It really is. Like it's to the like, you can literally just go to GitHub and see like what's the process or the progress on certain developments, like just seeing how the developers are talking to each other. It's virtually every Bitcoin news site imaginable that you just look at to pick up on things. It's all of the company blogs, it's everything people are talking about on Twitter, it's so many different podcasts, it's just constant like devouring of information and processing that and trying to figure out like how relevant is this, what's the priority of it, should this be included here or there. So yeah, it varies, it depends a lot. Sometimes we have our own internal data, like the Lightning report that I did, that was based on the data that we had from our own node. So that makes it a lot easier, but for a lot of the research, the hardest thing by very far is finding quality data. And for the research I've been doing now over the past months, I've reached out to so many companies, and most of them just don't want to share any data because they're, just trying to protect their position. But they're all very eager to then see whatever's in there from their competitors, obviously. So yeah, it can be pretty tricky to get good data.
Yeah, and I'm glad people like you are doing that, and especially in the Bitcoin space, because someone that's newer into Bitcoin, they're not going to spend all this time researching for the right information. So I'm glad you're able to do that and distill it down for people to easily understand as well. So keep pursuing that. And I guess I'm curious as well, what do you have planned for River Learn? Are there any specific topics you guys are pursuing, or is it just kind of just feed into your other products and services?
There is a massive backlog of things I'd love to write and improve what's already there. So it's a bit of that. It's writing some new articles that where people are struggling, where they need some kind of simple explainer with some visuals to help them understand it. But there's always the kind of balance of, well, some things are just covered on other websites, already done really well. Is there much value add in us doing a pretty similar job to it? So there's a lot of analysis behind it as well, like where does it make sense for us to focus? In general, what I'd love to do more with it is making it an actual learning experience, as I mentioned. So having a very clear sequence of, if you're interested in these specific topics, which we can initially ask them or test for, like what is your knowledge on Lightning, on mining, on like all kinds of Bitcoin related topics, then what are you interested in? And that would then sort of churn out a logical learning journey for them. Like what are then the articles or resources you should be going through? That's something I'd love to do one day. But there's a lot of work involved in that, and it's much more complicated than just the idea that you hear. So remains to be seen if that can actually be feasible as well, and how much it would help individuals. But that's something I'd love to do one day because I think it's something Bitcoin desperately needs, where if people are so inclined to ship someone off to go to some resource, then it should be an intelligent resource that helps them figure out what's the thing I should be learning about and what's going to resonate with them.
Definitely, yeah. I'm curious, you mentioned that you have a backlog of topics that you want to get to and write about. You ever consider like open sourcing those topics and just put it out to the Bitcoin community and say, hey, we'll pay you some sats if you just pick up this topic, write XYZ about it, and send it to us?
I've thought about that. The challenge that is there, however, is that what it would result in is that my job would become being a full-time reviewer of content, because there's a lot of quality control that you want to do to make sure that sort of the tone of voice is in line with everything else that you have, that the visuals are on par with whatever else you've created, that all of the writing is correct, that things have been fact-checked, etc. So that's what it would result in, and it would increase the overall output potentially. But the tricky part is like there's a lot of relations to maintain there with all kinds of people. And sort of from my experience, having looked through those 300 applicants that applied for that job, there's a lot of people out there where I, at the current state, I wouldn't feel 100% comfortable working together with, because I think I would just have far more work. I'd be teaching them essentially. Like they would be getting paid for me to teach them how to write things in a bit more of an accessible way. And yeah, that just fundamentally changes the job, I think. So there's certainly interesting decisions to be made there, and I'm by no means saying that I'm the best Bitcoin educator or that I'm far above anyone else. That's absolutely not the point. But at the same time, you see there's lots of people who don't really have a background in writing necessarily or in any kind of education, and they're just eager about it, but they're struggling to just write and explain in ways that really resonates with people.
Right.
So,
Yeah, as we wrap this up here, I'm curious, what's one piece of advice you give to someone looking to work in the Bitcoin education space professionally?
I think we touched on it with the portfolio building, like just having something you can put out there to show people, like, this is an outstanding piece of content that I made that I poured my heart and soul into that just really makes a difference. It's a standout kind of thing. If you have that, I think that's going to help a lot. Beyond that, there's still the challenge of where, like, where or how will you be working in the Bitcoin education space that. Like typically what you see today is that a lot of people end up writing a book because they need some way to sort of monetize the whole education journey that they're on. Or they create a YouTube channel, but getting advertising revenue there is also really hard, or they have to get sponsors. So the business side of it is pretty hard. And as a result, as an educator, it helps if you're able to work at a company that covers your income so that you can actually focus on the education. But still, like, there's not a ton of them out there. And for me, that's also like, why am I at River? Why am I at a US-based company? Because in Europe, there are some Bitcoin-focused companies, but a lot of them just tend to be a mix of all kinds of things because the market for Bitcoin is smaller than in the US in some ways. So that adds some complexities. Like, do you then want to spend part of your time working on like creating content or research around other cryptocurrencies or blockchain stuff or whatever
That's
that is?
usually a
So
hard
it's,
no for people.
yeah, it is, but that does narrow down your potential pool of companies to be working at. So it's, that's a really difficult decision about it, I think. And yeah, it's pretty hard to make for someone. They'll have to go through that discovery process themselves, I think.
So I think as adoption grows here, as more and more companies come out, there's going to be more of these education type of positions opening up. But for someone listening right now, right away, what you can start doing is create a portfolio, like Sam said. Just start writing about whatever Bitcoin-related topic that interests you. Build up that portfolio, publish it online, and then when the time's right, you can have something to show for yourself, that
And
proof of
I would
work.
add one more thing in that even if companies aren't hiring for great educators, if you have a really impressive portfolio and you're putting out good stuff, you can also do the thought exercise for them and just figure out if I were to join your company, how would that drive like growth for the business in some way. And if you can make that case to them, there will be companies that are actually interested, provided that, you know, the work that you've done is actually impressive and stands out from the crowd. So there's that possibility as well of just being bold and reaching out and saying, hey, I've been doing this stuff. I really think we'd be a good match. And maybe they can make that work and figure out, all right, we'll hire you. Or maybe next quarter, like contact me again and then we can figure something out.
That's
So,
such a great point. Honestly, that doesn't even just apply to education. That's like any role in the Bitcoin space.
yep,
If you can show a
absolutely.
company like, hey, this will add event hiring me doing this certain task will add revenue to your business or add value in some way. You're automatically going to be in the door. Not guaranteeing a job, but their interest will be piqued. So you got to be proactive as well. Reach out to as many companies as you can.
Yeah,
I think that was
absolutely.
amazing advice. Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Sam. I learned a ton from you. There's still lots to be done in the education space. So if someone listening wants to get in touch with you or follow you on social media, what's the best way?
You can follow me on Twitter at SD Wouters. Like, I guess my name is in the show title, so you'll be able to find me on
We'll link
there.
it too in the show notes.
I have a Noster, but to be honest, I don't really use it as much. I will get more active on it, I think, when it starts branching out beyond Bitcoin. So that's kind of the moment that I've been waiting for to see, like, is this something I want to spend significant amounts of time on? So yeah, Twitter's a good place to go. And yeah, if you're interested in the research that I put out, you can find it on River as well. I'll obviously be tweeting about it. So yeah, thanks for having me, Eric. It's been a nice chat and love what you're doing here with the podcast. So
Thank
keep
you.
up the great work.
Hope to see you in Amsterdam or something like that in the future too for a Bitcoin conference.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Cheers.